public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Just to remind members that the mic works as a queuing up system, so please don't press the button again when your turn to speak is, as this will put you out of the queue. So. Item 1, any apologies?
And served. Kyle. Kyle McAvoy and King, apologies.
Howie. I would move on to Chairperson's remarks. I would like to express Council's condolences to the families of those tragically killed on our district roads. I'll start again. Express our condolences to the families of those who have tragically been killed on our district roads over the last month. We also wish to extend our condolences to the family and friends of the following people who have lost their lives in recent times. Our employee Indigo Doogie Wolfsbane, Bobby McKee, brother of former councillor Harold McKee, Lorcan Brannigan from Hilltown, who tragically died in Australia, and Dean Dobbin from Downpatrick, who tragically died in Lanzarote. So I would now like to congratulate the Armagh Ladies Gaelic team on winning the Division National Football League. A proud day for our county, Declan. Isn't that right? Pete? I would like to draw attention to and praise Timmy Mallett on his cycle around the north to raise awareness for Down syndrome and in doing so showcasing our district. Congratulate our council and our council staff on organising the recent brilliant St Patrick's Day events in both Newry and Downpatrick and the fantastic Newry Arts Festival. I'd also like to congratulate Councillor Tierna Kelly on her recent marriage. She is now Mrs Howie. And finally, congratulate young Charlie Smith from Mayo Bridge on becoming the first ever Irish player to come through the NFL's International Player Pathway. Right. Item 2, declarations of interest. Item 3, the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 4th of March 2024. Any matters arising? Sorry, go through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hannah.
Seconded
by Councillor. Councillor Feehan, are you looking to come in?
Yes. Thanks, Chair. It was just very quickly on the bottom of page 3 on the action sheet. The initiating the process of twinning Newry with Ramallah by writing to the Mayor of Ramallah. I just wanted to confirm that letter had actually gone and request that item stay on the action sheet until we've had a response. Thanks.
Sure. Councillor Lee Sojourner.
Thank you, Chair. On page 2, minute reference C054-2024, just wondering if there's any update as to when successful applicants will receive the enhanced flood support grant.
Chair, I can answer that. We're currently assessing the applications. We have allocated a number of applications to the loss assessor, and they commenced their inspections and visits to impacted properties today. And that process will be rolling out over the next few weeks. We have 20 or 30 allocated to the loss assessor at this minute in time. So they have dedicated 2 members of staff to carry out inspections and complete the assessment. So we hope that rolls out in the coming weeks.
Okay. Councillor Hannah.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just on page 3, about nominees for Warren Point Harbour Authority. I know in the original thing they requested 6 nominees, but we put forward 9. Is there any clarification? Or was there no restrictions on numbers?
Sure, in this instance, there was no restriction on numbers. Let us proceed.
Okay.
Item 4, minutes of council meeting held on the 4th of March 2024. We'll through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please?
Yeah, I'll second that.
I have a proposer and seconder.
So proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor Andrews.
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Bowsey. Any matters arising? Item 6, the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 25th of March. I'll go through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor McAteer.
Chair, could I just say something on that? Just looking at the minutes, it differs greatly from what we would have normally expected minutes that we as a council requested people concerned to come along and give a briefing and answer questions. I'd take ourselves back to the last one of a similar nature would be Abo Wind, where we had a lot of interactions, and that was all documented as the different relevant councillors asked specific questions. So I'm asking for the same level maybe of detail in this, because the public and really, the public will scrutinise this. Certainly, the information is in there, certainly, but the nature of some of the questions are not. And I think, personally speaking, the questions I asked have been not really reflected on the nature of question, particularly to the NAEJ, have not been rehearsed there at all. I think it's quite important that it is, and reflects the nature of the meeting. I bring you back to the Abu Wind Farm meeting where they came and presented a number of years ago. But ask that maybe the staff could ask maybe to do that on this occasion, or at least with agreement on the course of the meeting.
Chair, just on the previous meeting that we had with the wind farms, that's the one you're talking about?
Well, I'm giving it as the nearest example to get to it, you know. All the people coming in are here by, they normally turn about every year. This was following a motion brought to this council.
Yeah, I suppose we've never done it where we've listed out the names, you know, of the councillors and the questions that they've asked. We've always done it in the sort of using the bullet point format. But if your question, if you're saying that your question hasn't been, it's not on there, then we can obviously relook at that and input it. But I thought all the questions that were asked were inputted.
Well, I know the one, I had a particular angle I was on.
Chair, that would be a point of accuracy. So if there is something that you need to raise with that, but it wouldn't be common practice on even the ABBA Wind, which I certainly your party leader in a similar format. What I would say to members is we're in a position now where the meeting is fully recorded, so you will be able to listen back as well and direct people to listen back and to get accurate comments in the bottom if necessary. Is it, Councillor, is it an amendment you're looking then on a point of accuracy?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll throw that amendment in later on. Expect it. Maybe I'm only just asking the question tonight. Just generally, well, if Sarah began enough to fact that my comments regarding the questions they addressed to NAEA, gentlemen from NAEA that night.
If you send through them,
are you happy to propose, Councillor McAteer?
Yep, after that. With those
amendments. With the amendments. Councillor Hanlon, are you second?
Yeah, just picking up on the Chief Executive's comment, I thought that it was in an open session and therefore every single detail would be recorded as a matter of public record as well.
Item 7, minutes of the Economy and Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 11th of March 2024. I go through page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? For accuracy, proposed by Councillor Rouran.
Yeah, Chair, I propose it, but I want to make an amendment to one of the items on it in relation to Ballykellner.
Sure, if it's a relation to that item, it would have to go into closed session. It was a closed session item, if that's okay. Proposer and seconder to go into closed session. But we have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session.
So just before we do that, have a seconder for the minutes, actually, Councillor Clark.
Councillor Clark. Yeah.
Thank you. closed session following a vote, it was agreed to amend Proposal 4, ERT 032-2024, and to sign Annex 1 as an associate partner. There were 29 for and 6 against in the vote. Are there any other matters arising from the ERT minutes? We move on to item 7.1, which was the minutes of the appeal hearing, re the application for an amusement permit by Carousel Slots Downpatrick. We go through it page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3. Any matters, or sorry, a proposer and seconder, please. It's 7.1. Opposed by Councillor Cairns. Seconder? Councillor Gilbreth. You want our somebody that was at it. Councillor Andrews, thank you. Moving on to item 8, the minutes of the SPNR committee held on the 14th of March 2024. We go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Quinn. Seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Any matters arising? Councillor Truesdale?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This is to do with page 6, the top paragraph. So according to the minutes, there seems to be an understanding that the National Trust are coming to the project board, and I think that we all have a right to know, especially those of us that are sitting on the project board, are they joining? And if not, why not? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's been reported at the programme board that the National Trust were invited to be members of the programme board, and they declined because they deemed that they could be in a conflicted if we got to a stage where there was a commercial lease to be entered into. That was a decision that they had made, and we have accepted in their decision. So that's something that has already been communicated through the programme board.
Item 9, minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities meeting held on the 19th of March 2024. We were through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Truesdale, are you proposing?
No, I want to comment.
Proposed by Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Mathers. Yes, Murphy. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like it on the record, this is to do with page 2, the top section, that there's no specific mention of the Newcastle Leisure Centre on any corporate plan, regardless of the term being expressed in the AHC meetings. And in this instance, as with many other instances, as we've just seen, semantics are crucial. So I would ask for specific reference to a Newcastle Leisure Centre to be placed on the 24-27 corporate plan to clearly show the Council's commitment, because anything less is open to vast interpretation. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, it would be a project that's listed within the capital plan, not the corporate plan. So it should be listed within the capital plan. I'd need to check that it says Newcastle Leisure Centre, but that's where it would be appropriate for it to be listed. So just for real clarity, the capital plan, not the corporate plan.
Thank you. Item 10, minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 20th of March. We get through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Could I have a proposer and seconder for the minutes, please?
Just on the minutes, Madam Chair. The former landfill sites, Achnagun and Drummakelly, is it? Yes, we had agreed that we would look at a solar...
Is this a point of accuracy?
Yes. Because I had also said about and doing an investigation to utilise the track or utilise it for the upcoming sport of e-racing.
Sure, this was in closed session. It's item, is it item
SE-036-2024? Yeah. Yeah. There's no mention of it in the meeting, in the minutes, because it was discussed in detail.
It's because it's a closed session item.
What?
It's because it's a closed session. So in closed session, the way the minute is recorded is only the decision is recorded. So it'll not be all the detail of the decision that's in it, okay?
Right.
Proposed by Councillor Murphy, Kate. Seconded by Councillor Taylor. Any matters arising? Kate, are you looking in?
No, I was just proposing.
But item 11 is the planning section, and there are no issues arising.
Any new staff recruited from
planning? We have been through a recruitment exercise, and we have offered posts to 4 staff this week, and we're awaiting them to come back and advise whether they're going to accept the offer. So we continue to engage in the recruitment market, and we hope to have a full complement soon, but if not, we will continue to go out and test the market and try and bring the staff in that we need.
Thank you.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, just following on from Councillor Riley's question about recruitment, obviously significant concern about the length of time it takes in terms of applications being allocated. Yes, officers, and part of the problem is with the fact that our complement is not where it should be. How far are we off a full complement? Can that be confirmed? Like, you know, subject
it's probably more appropriate to bring a report back so that a councillor gets full information just on that.
Could I propose that?
But there's a report. There's a report to be presented at the next audit committee and SPNR, which was agreed with the last committee, so both SPNR and audit.
So item 12 is correspondence. For information, there's correspondence. Could I have a proposer and seconder for the correspondence, please? Proposed by Councillor Mathers? Mm-hmm. Proposed by Councillor Cahan?
No.
I need a proposer and seconder, of course. Just for note. Councillor Andrews. Seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Fahan.
Thanks, Chair. It's just very briefly on Appendix 1, the response from the Health Minister to my motion on Daisy Hill. I would start with the positive in saying that the offer extended by the Health Minister to meet with senior officials at the department is welcome, and I think any of us here would be prepared to speak to anybody at any time if it would contribute towards the protection and enhancement of services at Daisy Hill. But I do find it disappointing that the Health Minister seems unwilling to meet with members of this council to discuss our fears about the diminution of services at Daisy Hill and the implications that will have for our communities. And not to put too fine a point on it, but we've spent the last, 5 of the last 7 years without a functioning executive, without ministers in post, and without any way to challenge decisions that have been made behind closed doors by unelected officials. And with the executive now restored, I believe it's entirely reasonable to expect the Health Minister to accede to a meeting request to discuss such a consequential issue. So on the back of the correspondence, I would propose that we respond to the Minister, indicating our willingness to meet with his officials, but reiterating our strong desire or indeed our insistence that the Minister be present at that meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fahan. Councillor Mathers.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to speak to Appendix 1 and Appendix 4. So in relation to Appendix 1, just to concur with Councillor Fahan has said, I'm disappointed that the Minister doesn't feel the need to meet a delegation, which doesn't help with the negativity that's generated around the services in the hospital at the minute. Now that the Health Minister is back in place, it should be incumbent on him to protect services and to listen to concerns of this Council. In Appendix 4...
Are you seconding the proposal? Or the...
Yep. In relation to Appendix 4, Chair. Yeah. During a recent meeting with senior TransLink officials, with myself and my colleagues Liz Cummins and Mickey Brady, we highlighted the current issues with overcrowding on the rail journeys and the lack of a regular service connecting Newry to Belfast and Dublin. It is therefore very welcome to hear at the meeting the significant planned improvements for the Enterprise Rail Service. Service provision between Belfast and Dublin will almost double, with an hourly service anticipated to be in place before the end of this year, which is very good news and which will include a stop at Newry Station. Work is currently underway to finalise timetables in conjunction with Irish Rail, with plans to introduce additional rail services for commuters between Belfast and Dublin at peak times and the implementation of a seat reservation facility for passengers. At the meeting, we also urged TransLink to consider the implementation of a later train service for passengers travelling from Belfast to Newry at weekends, as this has been widely suggested by constituents.
Thank you, Councillor Mathers. Councillor Gilbreth.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to respond in relation to the Education Authority's response, I suppose, Appendix 2. Well, the response is welcome. The fact that it's taken them 2 months for a response explaining information that I'm already aware of from my time working within the Education Authority is an indication of the importance the EA places on providing necessary information on a timely basis, which is disappointing. There has also been further development since my colleague Colin McGrath, MLA, wrote to the EA, not least the appointment of their new CEO, Richard Pengelly, an information which I have been made aware of through my colleague. Colin received a letter from the Education Minister regarding a school enhancement programme in which the Minister has said, with a significant additional investment, we are at risk of not meeting even our most basic requirements of an education system, which is to keep schools open and safe and provide places for our most vulnerable learners. Given the response from the EA and the reference events, I believe this would be suitable grounds for us to seek further information from them. I would like to further propose that this Council seeks answers to the following. Number one, is it appropriate to ask the family of any young person with a statement of education to travel up to 60 miles a day to attend their placement of education? Two, if placements have been offered in advance via the annual review, why is it still taking up to 4 weeks beyond the new academic year to ensure transport is arranged? This often puts a financial burden on already stretched families to pay for buses try to get their children to school. Number three, as per stage two mentioned in their letter, if they have key information as required, why do parents not have communication with regards to placement and travel? Number four, if a child is in receipt of a taxi, as per their statement of education, is this transport for that child only? Number five, can the EA consider a fast-track recruitment process or a waiting list to ensure staff are readily available should the situation arise where a child requires that additional support travelling to and from school? And number six, as it was a response from the transport section, can I ask again that this Council seeks further information from the Education Authority's cross-directorate team asking what provisions will be in place for September 24, ensuring that there will be placements and travel arrangements for those requiring them and that these placements are within a reasonable distance from where the young people live. Thank you, Chair.
Connor, would you have a seconder for your proposal, please?
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Gilbert, can you turn your mic off, please?
Sorry.
Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks. Look, I think the points that Councillor Gilbert has made are really, really valid, and I know it is a very predominant issue across our district. Working in MLA office myself, I know I see these issues day and daily. But I would just question, having that level of detail going in from a council, would it not be better going in as MLA written questions rather than, you know, ourselves? Because I'm not sure, well, we don't have any power to actually change this within the council. You know, so it's just to kind of make that point. But we could start to get into the minutiae of assembly business within this chamber, which may hold us back from the business that we're actually meant to be doing. And I'm not disputing that you should ask those questions, but I just think there may be a better place now that we have a four-party coalition executive in place.
The thing is, they haven't actually answered the original proposal, the actual question that I asked initially. And with the information that we've already got, or what we got since, it's now raising more questions. So I have been on this one for quite a while now, and I would really appreciate sort of going with the proposal as suggested.
Is everyone in agreement? Moving on, item 13 is conferences and events. It's the National Association of Councillors Conference, Leisure and Tourism, to be held in the Royal Hotel Scarborough from the 12th to the 14th of April 2024.
Chair, if anybody was to attend, we would need proposed and seconded tonight. The cost is probably roughly in the region of £1,000, including flights, accommodation, and bus.
Councillor Hanlon.
It's just to raise the issue. We discussed this at party leaders before, and the cost of a councillor or numerous councillors going to conferences. So before anybody's actually sanctioned to go to it, to make the point that we would need to ensure it's value for money for ratepayers, but also that whoever does decide to go or is proposed to go would be bringing back a very detailed report as to how that conference will help us as the local government agency.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. So if anyone's looking to put their name forward, is to go to the relevant office.
No, Chair, we need a name tonight. And it's okay for nobody to go with that, just to be clear. Just to be very clear.
Chair.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, Chair, no, I'm not going to propose a name. I'm just going to concur with the comments from Councillor Hanlon. I think instead of these items coming for correspondence to this and just throwing it out onto the floor, that there should be some discussion through the directorates of which topic is being discussed at the conferences. And I looked at this one and I thought, this is about tourism and the leisure sector. We're just signing off on our tourism strategy and we've done extensive work on it. So we're a minute to midnight and I don't know what benefit we would get out of it going to something that is growing tourism when we're so late in the day of our strategy. So instead of just leaving it open for does anybody want to go, I think reports should be coming to ERT or whatever. If something that we're working on that we would have benefited and we could send a staff member or a councillor to go to that it would benefit this council, then we put it on the agenda. I just think having them loosely on the agenda for anyone to go to, I don't agree with. So I agree with Councillor Hanlon.
Some of them come through to us very, very late and wouldn't have time to go through committees, etc. But I think perhaps another conversation of party leaders about how we actually deal with these. We could look at them and possibly guess that maybe, you know, we may be better concentrating on conferences primarily in Ireland or on the island of Ireland. You may get the odd one that's popping on a plane for. Back to being really clear on what is value for money. So we'll have another conversation, perhaps.
Through the Chair, in relation to that, the National Association of Councillors, of which I'm a proud member, do a lot of excellent sterling work in regard of all experiences and all thresholds. But it is important that I do agree with that there should be more, you know, more notice given to enable, you know, officers and members to know what each conference, et cetera, is about. And I do think that they, I always believe in networking, and that's how you, you gain expertise and experience and a wide variety of issues as well. But I do agree with the sentiments that each conference should be based on its merit and what it's for the ratepayer. Knowing that I've always been a firm supporter of what the NEC do and experience and training from different different working groups, etc. So that's, I think experience is tantamount and learning as well.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Moving on to item 14 in notice of motion, Irish Language Resource Centre. The motion has been brought by Councillor McMurray. Councillor McMurray, if you'd read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, it will be heard here at Council.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's going to be seconded by Councillor Brennan. This Council writes to Michael Gove, the Secretary of State for Levelling Up Housing and Communities, asking that the grace period is offered to Glorukkah Authority and their application to Community Ownership Fund with regard to their pursuit to develop an Irish Language Resource Centre in Castlewellan. Chair, again, thank you for allowing this motion to be heard. Essentially, it is a simple enough motion, namely that this Council offers letter of support to community-based group to see their project of creating an Irish Language Resource Centre in Castlewellan. The Rectory provide conversation classes, podcasts, youth clubs, activity residentials, children's events, revision classes, and much more, a real asset to any community. And bringing this development forward, it will also materially improve what is currently an empty building in a prominent position in Castlewellan by bringing it back into use. While the project has been approved and has progressed significantly, there have been a number of unforeseen issues which have delayed the project. And as someone who myself has bought and sold a house this year, the course of conveyancing never runs smoothly. The main factor which has driven the delay is the initial property was removed from the market, and something a new, more prominent property has been purchased. Funding is also an issue, but if the funds have already been approved, can be drawn down with a reasonable time frame, and this would secure the project. Yeah, this project is very much under progress and moving in the right direction. It's just the issue of timing and associated pressures which are at hand. This motion is simply to ask the Minister of Levelling Up and his department to respond in a positive manner to the efforts in which the group's project manager and architect have made in order to overcome the final few hurdles to see the completion of this project. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Brennan, you're going to second the proposal. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, happy to support Andy's motion. Sinn Féin are supportive of the work that Glorukkah Tíre have carried out in the Castlewellan area for many years. We recognise the hard work that has been carried out thus far to secure a permanent home for this group. This will provide a fantastic base and much-needed culture land, which will assist in promoting and enhancing the Irish language and indeed South Down. Míle bhíos Gaeilge.
Thank you, Councillor Brennan. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I know my colleague, Councillor Lord Evelyn, wanted to speak on this, but unfortunately she's unwell. But it's just to express the SDLP support in this particular project and the great work that's been going on in the background. So just to for our support.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Hanlon.
Just to add in that could the Council write to Jacob Young, the Levelling Up Minister, as he would be, be his department looking after this funding application as it's dealt with at Whitehall. So maybe just to add that in as well.
Happy with the amendment? You wish to sum up, Andy?
Yes. Chair, yep. Again, thanks. And again, having spoken to the and knowing the group as they do, they're a real positive group. You know, they're looking to reach out again to all sides of the community, if you will, because it's something that is shared between us and shared amongst us, and an understanding of it is really important. So happy to. Thanks for the words of support.
Is everyone in agreement? Thank you. Item 15 is the evaluation of spend on SLAs and council events. Under Standing Order 16.1.6, this will be deferred to the Strategic Finance Working Group. I'd ask Councillor Truesdale to read her motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you, Chair. That this Council commits to bringing an improvement paper on options for a better valuation of Council spends and SLAs and Council-run events so we know the true impact on residents and value for money. That this Council makes improvements in reporting on the above so Councillors know the progress made over time through the inclusion of a baseline measurement, meaning there is greater connectedness with departmental business plans and how they achieve the corporate plan through connected evaluation. And it's seconded by Councillor Lee Sargeter.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Item 16, fisheries and aquaculture industry pressures. This will be heard here at Council. The notice of motion has been brought by Councillor Rice. Councillor Rice, if you read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
This council recognises the acute pressures that the fisheries and aquaculture industries are currently under as a consequence of the severe shortage of seasonal workers. This council calls on the UK government to relax the immigration rules to allow for visas for seasonal aquaculture and local businesses to acquire necessary workers. Chair, it's clear to see that sustainable employment is essential to keeping our fishing industries thriving. The fishing industry is a major economic driver in communities right across this district, including Arglass, Kilkeel and Port of Ogie. However, we must recognise the acute pressures that our local fishing industry is currently under. This is a direct consequence of the severe shortage of seasonal workers. It's extremely worrying that for small fishing businesses that immigration rules are restricting seasonal workers to the detriment of the productivity and sustainability of our local fishing industry. In speaking with local fishermen that operate out of the Kilkeel Harbour, there is no doubt that the fishing industry is facing a major problem of crew availability and retention, given that new entrants to the industry is at an all-time low. The UK immigration authorities have begun to enforce a rule regarding foreign nationals having to stay, I'd say, 12 miles offshore. The reality is enforcement officers are targeting local ports, resulting in numerous crews having to be sent home and told to reapply through the sponsorship route rather than the present visa system. The sponsor route has a process which includes a very stringent language exam, which many foreign nationals fail repeatedly. We can sit here tonight and we can blame Brexit or the current Tory administration, but the reality is if this issue isn't resolved, the future of the fishing industry looks extremely bleak. I therefore am calling the British government to relax the immigration rules to allow seasonal workforce to acquire their visas. The British government must act swiftly to ensure that issues surrounding seasonal work visas are rectified to ensure that the local fishing industry is supported. My motion has been supported by Councillor Clark.
Councillor Clark, you're seconding the motion. Do you wish to speak to the motion? Right, that's okay. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Bourne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I was afraid if I switched off my button, I'd get lost in the queue. Listen, I fully support, the FDLP fully supports this motion. And I want to go further to add to it, so hopefully Councillor Rice will take an amendment on it. I brought a motion back in June 2023 on mushroom pickers and seasonal work visas. We wrote to the Home Office and we got a letter back from the Home Office pretty much saying there's no issue here with the workforce, talking to those in the industry that actually identified the issue of seasonal workers and telling them there was no issue, there's 45,000 visas. And if the figures tell us that we need more, we'll increase it by 10,000, which didn't kick in at the time. And in that letter, if we go back, I think they sent a letter to us in August 2023. They talked about the changes in the fishing industry and what they had done through the skilled visa, which Michael's talking about. There is no option for a seasonal visa for the fishing industry. And that's wrong. This has been a long issue that has been discussed over in Westminster. A long issue being pushed by the SNP as well, because the skilled
worker visa of which they state fishing is a skilled job all year round and doesn't meet the definition of seasonal, means that people that are coming in from overseas to do the jobs both on the water and in the seafood processing plants now from last week have to meet the minimum salary threshold that was moved from 26,000 to 38,000 minimum salary. That's going to destroy the sector, absolutely destroy the sector. You've had from the Fishermen's Welfare Alliance representation put forward over the last 12 months to have a bespoke visa scheme for the industry. That's a bespoke scheme that looks at both seasonal and skilled. Yes, there is a large part of the industry is skilled workers, but there are also processing plants that have to meet that skilled worker £38,000 salary threshold, and that's simply not feasible. So it's going to have a devastating impact, and that's something that was just brought in at the start of April. So when we write back to the Home Office, instead of just getting the response back from them that they gave us last August, that they're doing everything they can to put it on the shortage occupation list for a period of time, which relaxed some of the requirements to allow people to get labour in, they need to listen to the voices within the sector and take on board that there has to be a bespoke scheme. There's no point in coming back with the definition of seasonal worker. They have to even make changes to the skilled worker scheme so that we don't stop people coming and working in the fishing industry. So on top of the council calls the UK government to relax immigration rules to allow for visas for seasonal aquaculture, also asks the UK government to amend the skilled worker scheme to allow labour to come in to the fishing industry, because that threshold of 38,000 minimum salary is the barrier that came in last week. And that needs to be tackled. We don't want them sending back a letter telling us that it doesn't meet seasonal workers. We want to touch on the scheme that they're actually trying to get in at the minute as well. So if we can add in that amends the skilled workers seasonal route as well, if Councillor Rice would take it. But yeah, happy to support the motion.
Councillor Rice, are you happy to take the amendment? Yeah. Okay. Councillor O'Reilly.
Yes, Chairman. We support the motion. The fishing industry has gone through a very difficult time because of the price of diesel and the very bad weather conditions, and several of the processing factories in South Down are finding it very difficult because they just can't get the produce to process. And Madam Chair, the Home Office, the way they manage this is absurd, absolutely absurd, because apart from fishermen, who are very skilled people, we know every detail about their background. We know if they have a criminal history or not. These are good people who are working in the fishing industry. Similar welders who didn't complete their residency state to get residency in the UK status. And the Home Office sends in security guards to arrest those guys who are very productive workers working in Northern Ireland factories on fishing boats, and to ship them home, deport them. And then what do they do? These guys are coming in on boats, no ID, we don't know anything about their background, and they bring them in and put them up in four-star hotels. There's just something wrong with these people, that they can't differentiate between good people who are productive members of society and making a big contribution to the United Kingdom economy, and these other people who come in and are treated with kid gloves, come in completely illegally, and given benefits and accommodation, whatever. It just does not make sense, Chairman. And we need to get this right, but the Home Office needs to get the priorities right, and the fishing industry desperately needs to be able to retain the people that they have and attract additional people. The 36,000 pay, annual pay, just is no good to the fishing industry, because if they're being tied up for maybe 3 or 4 months of the year, they still have to pay that guy 36, or the pro rata of the 36,000. And the fishing boats can't do it. The fishing boats are working on very, very small margins now. So thanks to the councillor for bringing forward this notice of motion. It's timely. And myself and Councillor Hanna did actually raise all these issues with our own minister, Stormont Minister, last week. And there was some very heartrending explanations went to the minister from active fishermen.
who got the case over very, very well to him. So hopefully we can do something about it. But definitely the Home Office needs to reset their priorities and stop discriminating against productive people and mollycoddling illegal immigrants. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Well, we thank Councillor Rice for bringing this motion today. We'd like to suggest an additional amendment to the motion to the effect of also writing to the new Deira Minister in support of the Minister's request of the UK Home Office to add fishing in Northern Ireland as one of the industries to which seasonal working visas apply. Chair, we're home to the largest fishing fleets in Northern Ireland, Kilkeel and Ardglass, and I know firsthand the challenges facing the industry. Fishing is an important part of the economic fabric of our area and to the life of our rural communities. We're close to some of the most productive fishing grounds in Europe, and I have great respect for the skill and hard work of our fishing community. We must do all that we can to ensure the cultural and heritage of fishing is protected for future generations also. In recent times, the UK government's changes to unskilled visa rules combined with our exit from the European community has resulted in labour shortages. Also, the rising cost of fuel as a result of the Ukraine war has left many vessels unable to reap any economic benefit from increased quotas. I was pleased to welcome the new Alliance Deira Minister, Andrew Muir, to Ardglass last week. He made it clear he was pressurising the UK government on the issue of seasonal visas for crews across all three local harbours. The Minister also spoke about the fishing and seafood development programme and how it represents a huge opportunity for these three harbours, which collectively generate $135 million a year, support 1,550 jobs and produce an estimated GVA of $55.5 million per annum for the local economy. The capital investment outlined in the fishing and seafood development programme can significantly boost this economic dividend with ambitious plans for all three harbours. But none of this can happen if our local boats don't have crews. It's critical that the UK government adds fishing to the list of industries where seasonal workers are allowed. We're glad to support this motion with this small amendment, Chair. Looking for Michael to pick up that amendment.
Councillor Rice, are you happy to take...
Right to the Deira Minister.
Right to the Deira Minister. Well...
That's okay,
Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, but Chair, just to emphasise on everything everybody says, and Michael, it's a very good motion there. Just to let us know exactly how desperate the fishing industry, especially the prawn industry, is in the county down coastline, Missport, Avogie, Ardglass and Kilkeel included. The landings over the last year have decreased by nearly 53%, so they have. That is huge, and I know Henry mentioned fuel and possibly storms and that, but the fishermen are fairly robust individuals, and if they had crews, they would be out. There's no doubt in that whatsoever. It is... The crews are the big issue. I know the Minister was down at Kilkeel Harbour and he's pretty much aware, and I think that the guys at Ardglass have reinforced everything that we said in Kilkeel. It's just unbelievable, so that the pressures that they're under. Some of the factories in Kilkeel are actually down to 3 and 4 day weeks there because they just can't get the produce, so they can't. So, and if we are to have a fishing industry in the future, we do need you get this resolved and resolved soon. We're not talking about a massive amount of people, so we're not covering. We're only talking about around 300 fishermen. That's all we're talking about here. We're not talking about... Maybe it's too insignificant for Westminster to worry about. I don't know. But it's just got to the stage now. I know one gentleman, he rung me and he said that his whole crew worked there, so he did, and the skipper just went to, so he did, simply because the paper was just coming to an end. And just another point of information... Just at the start of the month, new fishermen were to come in, so they were, because of a fault at Westminster in the system, they can't get in now, so they can't. And obviously, if they did land here, they'd be sent straight home because their paperwork was... It's some sort of a problem, a snitch in the computer system. If them ones landed here at this point in time, they'd be sent straight back. So look, everything has been prepared, everything's been done, so it has. And just simply because inefficiency, or I hate to say the word incompetence, sometimes I wonder what is going on, sir. If the one efficient industry in County Down or in Northern Ireland, they need to pull themselves together, so they do, and get the whole system working. We need workers in. I know that last motion that you brought, Peter, you mentioned about the mushroom pickers, the apple pickers and all that. It sort of falls among that, but they'd be a little bit more seasonal maybe than the fishermen. The fishermen's there 9 months roughly, so they are. So it's just, the whole thing is wrong, so it wouldn't be a big, massive thing there to make it right. We just need this sorted, so do, and we need to sort it now. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Taylor.
Yep, Chair. Very happy to support the motion, you know, as following on from colleagues. Listen, we all recognise how important the fishing industry is to Northern Ireland, but particularly to our own district, you know, with a number of people employed in the industry here is a vital economic component for us. So I certainly hope that the government takes a sensible approach to this and takes seriously the concerns that are outlined obviously here tonight and in any correspondence and communication that we do as a council to them, because there are, you know, serious challenges being faced by the industry at this moment in time. And, you know, it's vital that the government do take this with the urgency that is required, given the importance that it is to us, you know, from an economic point of view. If this isn't addressed, those challenges will only further exacerbate. So we certainly hope that they do take this approach, and certainly that the executive will take obviously their role in this seriously as well in terms of applying the necessary pressure on Westminster. So obviously happy to concur with all the comments of colleagues so far and support the motion brought forward by Councillor Rice.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Rice, would you like to sum up?
Thanks, Chair. No, just to welcome the unanimous support across the chamber here tonight. You know, having worked on fishing boats when I was younger, it's hard work. Unlike the farming industry, young people aren't getting into it. So if we can try and make the lives easier of fishermen, all the better. And hopefully common sense will prevail. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Item 17, a motion on cancer treatment waiting times. The notice of motion has been brought by Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hanlon, if you'd read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, we'll be heard here at full council.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So that this council recognises that waiting times for cancer treatments are still unacceptably long and commits to write to the Minister for Health to request delivery of the department's 10-year cancer strategy and to build on existing cooperation on an all-Ireland basis to ensure patients receive timely treatment and support which is appropriate and compassionate. And the motion is going to be seconded by Councillor Kearns. So the most recent figures are a clear indication that the North healthcare system requires immediate action from the Minister of Health. The situation for cancer sufferers is urgent and needs attention now. The Department of Health sets a 62-day target for a patient to receive treatment following an urgent referral from their GP for suspected cancer. In the quarter ending December 2023, 1,076 patients in the Belfast, Northern, Southern and Western Trust received 0.1% more than the previous quarter and 33.3% fewer than in the same quarter last year. Out of all the patients seen, 73 were initially seen at the South Eastern Trust before waiting for treatment at the other trusts. However, just 30% of those patients started the treatment within the guidelines of the 62 days, compared with 34.3 in the previous quarter and 34.9 in the same quarter, comparable in 2022. These figures should serve as a stark reminder of the situation in cancer care in the North and the need for urgent action. The cancer strategy needs to be urgently delivered along considering the time delays and rising costs. The four-party coalition need to work collaboratively on budgets and timeframes to ensure sustainability, long-term planning and investment into cancer services. But these are not just numbers. Behind every statistic, there are hundreds of people waiting anxiously for treatment, and healthcare staff are stretched beyond their limits, and it's unsustainable. To improve cancer prevention, diagnosis, treatment and quality of life, we must utilise all the tools available in the fight against cancer, and this includes greater North-South cooperation. An all-Ireland approach would not only improve
cancer service for patients, but it would also help to make healthcare across the island more sustainable. Improved cooperation would also mean through research we can develop new and effective treatments for patients fighting cancer. I would urge the Health Minister working alongside the other parties to ensure the new cancer strategy includes North-South Cancer Care cooperation as a key pillar, and I would ask all members to agree to support of this council and direct the Minister Swan to work with the four-party coalition and to deliver on the budget's timeframes and to ensure sustainable long-term planning and investment care in the cancer services. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Kieran, you're going to second the motion. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
I am sure that not one of us in the chamber tonight have not been touched by the devastation of a cancer diagnosis within our family or friends group. For patients to receive a diagnosis and then have to wait for treatment is unacceptable and cruel. It undoubtedly compounds the mental stress to the patient. Whilst many treatments have very positive outcomes, the stress of having to wait presents other health problems. The cross-border health directive has proven to be a vital resource for those seeking a wide range of procedures, and Sinn Féin have been lobbying to see this reinstated. This is an example of how cross-border cooperation has been successful. People need to be able to access the best care in the most timely way to improve their chances of a better outcome. To support our health services, we should be looking at all options to ensure patients get the care that they need, and the cross-border health directive is something we should seek to build upon. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cairns. Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much. Councillor Hanlon, for introducing such a very worthy motion, and with your indulgence, I would like to propose an amendment and to insert after the word strategy, but also write to the Minister of Finance, urging her to commit to the department's identified funding plan for the safe strategy and deliver a multi-year budget. You know, and I feel and addressing the challenges that face delivery of cancer services is a key priority for us all. But unfortunately, cancer services in Northern Ireland have been underfunded compared to other regions across, you know, the UK and all. And as a result of historical underfunding and repeated political fallouts, you know, we're constantly falling behind on achieving our cancer targets. When you think about it, over 20 years ago, there was over 3,500 deaths from cancer. And by 2020, this has increased to over 4,500. I feel strongly that the 10-year cancer strategy, and it's a good document, it's a worthy one, and it's good to see. It is important and vital, and it sets out a roadmap to delivering better care for people, helping them to live longer and happier lives, and also working to prevent cancer incidence rates. Strategy is only a strategy unless it's properly funded, and I say the cost of implementing this strategy over the next 10 years, like beginning at the time in 2023, is $778 million, and I know it's early days yet, but I know the executive will come back in February 24 and loads to bring forward a funding plan for initiatives such as this strategy, and the Minister of Finance has yet, you know, at this stage, should I say, to bring forward a multi-year budget. I expect the need for this, but I feel strongly if we are to deliver better health outcomes for the public and successfully implement the cancer strategy, then the associated funding that goes with it is very essential. And without this funding, this strategy will be just another document that promises much but delivers very little. You know, again, it's, you know, it's, there's a lot of work to be done, and we are all united, you know, and we've all seen it firsthand how cancer has impacted on people and on families and on friends. And I do think that, you know, if we did go along the line of but it's still set over a period of years, whatever, there will be more money there. We know where to allocate it to. And it is important that, you know, at this stage that we do go towards a multi-budget, you know, over a period of time instead of year-to-year basis. And I think if we go down that strategy, I think it will provide delivery and enhanced services, et cetera, for people affected. But again, I could go on forever and a day, but I feel passionately like so many in this chamber on such an important subject, and I do welcome the motion. It's very commendable, and I do hope that in the spirit in which I delivered my amendment, that it will be accepted to move the motion forward and to gain more funding and strength to deliver vital services for all that need to avail. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Hanlon, are you happy to accept Councillor Andrews' amendment?
Yeah, I mean, I did reference in the notes that it's important that all parties are working collaboratively. I don't envy the task of the Finance Minister, because working on a budget that basically has been hamstrung for many years, but also working on one that's going year to year, it just doesn't work. I've said it many, many times in this chamber that you couldn't even run your own house like that. So absolutely, no issue taking the amendment, but you know, I had included that within my speaking notes. Thank you, Terry.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Councillor Andrews has said, Chair, there's no doubt that we all care passionately about this issue. Each and every one of us has been affected in some way or other. Again, it's already been referenced, with whether it be family or friends. And we all have that desire to see a significant improvement in cancer services across Northern Ireland. Certainly, I know it's a key commitment for the Minister, and certainly for our own party. And you know, his commitment was already shown by the fact that he published 10-year strategy in 2022. That was an ambitious and fully costed plan to try and address and improve cancer services right across Northern Ireland. And that plan was endorsed by all the parties within the Assembly at that time. Obviously, the Assembly hadn't been functioning for a period up until recently, shortly after that, and that really there was no movement at that stage, I suppose, as a result of that there. But I certainly know that it is a key commitment for the Minister, because it's one of the major issues, and there's so many issues affecting the health service, but this is one of the key ones that I know he wants to see addressed. And I do believe that everybody has a role to play within that executive to try and achieve that, and there is a role for the Finance Minister to play in that in terms of providing the necessary budget, because nothing can ever be achieved fully unless there's a proper budget put in place. And I don't underestimate the challenges, again, that the Finance Minister, you know, has on her table as well. Because every department is seeking necessary financial resource to keep their departments functioning. But we are in a situation, if we're going to deliver on key priorities such as this that's been brought forward tonight, the necessary resource is going to have to put in place to do that. So I certainly hope we see a budget agreed within the next number of weeks, because I think there was an expectation we'd have it by now, but maybe towards later this month. But certainly I hope whenever that budget is agreed that there is a necessary resource put in place to allow the Health Minister to deliver on key issues such as this. So thank you, Chair, and thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Lee Sergener.
Thank you, Chair. I'll keep it nice and brief. I thank Councillor Hammond for this motion. Alliance supports this motion. Cancer is a scourge, and a funding strategy is much needed to tackle this. This goes to show the importance of Stormont by not only the multi-party executive, but the key departments running consistently to ensure sustainable funding for Department of Health to allow a multi-year funding strategy.
Councillor Ray.
Yes, Chairman. I support the motion. And, Chairman, I want to ask for guidance. In the old council, we had an all-councillor, all-interest councillor forum that was called the Health Forum. And we could bring the local purchasing group, we could bring in the director of social services, we could bring in the head of the health trust and question them. And I think we are really missing out that this council doesn't do it. And I would ask the chairman, can you investigate, Marie, how we would go about doing that and invite them here every couple of months? But the local purchasing group is really important because they're working on a massive budget. We don't know what's been spent in Craigavon on cancer care. And is there more money that could be directed there? And those are the questions that you could ask in the old council. And I think it's really important that we get that degree of accountability back. And it's not just elective surgery, it's out of hours, it's A&E, all these different aspects that we can question them on and get answers and hold their feet to the fire. And I think we really should have that forum back, Maria, if it's possible to do it.
Councillor Reilly, there are actually two health forums in council, and have been. There's two health forums in council, one this side of the district and one the other side of the district, dealing with two different health. And they do meet on a number of occasions throughout the year, and we also invite the health trust to a special council meeting twice a year as well. So. There is two structured forums. The reason there's two of them is because we have two health trusts, so we're not coterminous, so we have two health forums. Councillor, right. What I would suggest, we'll maybe do is we'll just bring a wee update back through party leaders on the health forums and when they met, and maybe look at ensuring that everybody's aware of the membership, etc., and see if we can get a meeting established.
Chair, if I could just a quick comment on that. I do believe the forums maybe could meet more frequently. I would say that the forums could meet more frequently, but what I also say is whenever people are appointed to forums, and this isn't you, Henry, the attendances were never what they should be either, which is an issue. So if the forums are meeting regular, the members should make genuine real effort to attend those meetings, because there are important issues being discussed. So that was one of the issues I found, certainly in the last term of the forum.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Hanlon, do you wish to sum up?
Just to say,
just to say thanks for the support for the motion this evening. It's never an easy topic to bring into the chamber or for people to talk about, but I think if we all, you know, work collaboratively together and just try and get moving on all these health issues, that it will benefit everybody. So thank you. Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Item, is everyone in agreement?
Yes.
Item 18, cross-border teaching registration. This item, or this motion, will be deferred to our Economy Regeneration and Tourism Committee, understanding order 16.1.6. The motion has been brought by Councillor Feehan. Councillor Feehan, if I can ask you to read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thanks, Chair. So the motion is that Newry Morningtown District Council recognises the challenges faced by teaching graduates in securing permanent teaching posts in the north of Ireland, further recognises the obstacles faced by northern teachers seeking to secure registration and employment in the Republic, and commits to pursuing the submission of a bid to the Shared Island Unit in conjunction with Louth and Monaghan County Councils for a review of cross-border teaching registration and employment practices. And the motion will be seconded by Councillor Horton. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Feehan. Item 19 is the arts sector cuts. The notice of motion has been brought by Councillor Finn. Councillor Finn, if you'd read your motion, let us know who's going to second it. It will be heard here at Council.
Yep, so Newry Morningtown District Council recognises the financial pressure on our artists, arts and culture schemes and cultural organisations who have lost funding from Stormont departments, putting pressure on their ability to deliver existing arts and cultural schemes, and will write to the Communities Minister seeking his assurances that the cuts will be reversed. And this is going to be seconded by Councillor Sharvin. I'm really pleased to have the opportunity to bring this motion to Council this evening. Across the North, the arts sector supports 33,000 people employed in creative industries and contributes massively to our economic growth and output and our nighttime economy within our cities and towns. Along with this, as we know, creative industries across this island enrich the lives of all of those who participate or are impacted by them. The arts encourage diversity and social inclusion. They support our community and voluntary sector, and they so often highlight the incredible place that we call home. Northern Ireland has numerous Oscar winners. Our theatre performances gain acclaim across the world, and our television programmes rise to global fame. However, the funding that we dedicate to support our artists doesn't represent their talent and dedication. According to latest figures, Arts Council NI now receives the equivalent of £5.7 per head of population. Our nearest comparator, the Arts Council of Wales, receives £10.51 per head of the population, and the Irish Government invests the equivalent of £25.90. Northern Ireland Arts receives less investment per capita than anywhere else in England, Ireland, Scotland or Wales. The arts makes a huge contribution to the life in our district and across the north, and we really do punch well above our weight when it comes to artists, musicians, actors, writers and many other creative pursuits. And if we want this to continue, we need to make sure the sector is properly funded. I wish to commend the work of Equity NI, who have been tirelessly campaigning to ensure that these cuts are reversed. And I spent some time this afternoon speaking to their chair, who stated that many of our talented artists are considering alternative careers and not by choice. That same chair was this afternoon facilitating a weekly arts workshop with adults with learning disabilities and did in fact play the big blue snake in this year's Newry St Patrick's Day parade for anybody that was there. Our artists are all around our local communities, making them richer every day, but the sad reality is, however, if we let them become lost to other careers due to a lack of funding, much of our day-to-day life will be poorer. Last week, throughout Newry, we saw an incredible range of theatre, street art, craft, puppetry, music, comedy and dance. The very best of what our artists have to offer from all across the north. Luckily, I'm sure that I don't need to lecture anybody here on the wealth of talent we have from across our district. From New Point Players, who are taking their performance at Shadow of the Glen reimagined, to the All-Ireland Finals next month, the Newcastle Glees, who raised over £6,000 for the Friends of the Cancer Centre through the performance of Calendar Girls that ran through Newcastle. Our artists, time and time again, ensure that the show does in fact go on, and sadly most of their work is undertaken on a shoestring budget. As a council, taking a stand against these cuts not only protects our artists who deserve to be working in a sector that is properly and adequately funded, it helps to ensure that locally our groups who avail of that vital funding will have the capacity to continue their valuable and much needed work. Our artists across this district and more widely across the north need our support, and it is vital that we show solidarity with them by taking action and encouraging the Minister to reverse these cuts and invest in the arts in the upcoming budget.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor Jordan.
Councillor Finn, thank you very much. Perfect. Thanks, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Finn, for bringing this. And I think there's not much more to add other than the importance of the arts sector, not just within Newry, Moore and Down, but even locally here in Mayo and DEA of Downpatrick, is very clear to see. And I was lucky enough that I attended as deputy chair to see 30 years of Down Community Arts up at the Down County Museum. And I'm sure all councillors within the chamber will take an opportunity to go and visit our fantastic museum in Downpatrick, but also to see the exhibition that shows only a small portion of what the arts sector truly means and delivers within our own district. It is extremely important also to note that the council does go quite far in themselves of, you know, through our own financial assistance funding, through supporting organisations of using council space, and then also in creating the events that Councillor Finn touched on as well. But I think it's also apparent for those that went to the YAFTAs only recently that it showed how vibrant our musicians are within Newry, Moore and Down District Council. And I'll not refer to the officer that said it, that we're often aged that even we didn't know what some of the songs were, but by God, the young ones certainly did, and they were enjoying it as much as anyone. But I think it is extremely important that the arts sector over the last number of years certainly have been getting cut and further cuts. And if we as a council actually remember, not too long ago, we had a number of organisations, not only in the arts sector, but across the community and voluntary sector, who faced unprecedented cuts. And many of them, sadly, aren't here with us anymore because they don't have the financial assistance. But yeah, Chair, thank you, Councillor Finn, for bringing this. And I do know that the next speaker certainly will know a wee bit more about the artistic side than me.
Councillor Lee Surgeoner.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, indeed. I know a little bit of
pottery and a little bit of cookery. But yes, no, we totally welcome this motion, recognising the vital role of arts in our society and the funding concerns. Arts not only enrich our lives aesthetically, but also contribute significantly to our health and well-being. Through artistic expression, we keep our histories and cultures very much alive, fostering understanding and empathy for one another. It's super important that we as councillors recognise that and ensure that all funding opportunities are available and that the cuts reverse to support our creative sector.
Councillor Lee Sturgeon, Councillor Finnegan. Chair. Sinn Féin recognises the financial pressures on our artists, arts and culture organisations. The loss of funding is putting pressure on their ability to deliver existing arts and culture schemes. The Communities Minister must ensure that these cuts will be reversed. The Arts Council are yet to receive notice on what their funding outcomes are for the 2024-25 financial year. This leaves many artists and art and culture organisations in a precarious position, unable to appropriately plan ahead. The majority of arts organisations have been in receipt of standstill funding for the best part of the last decade. When we take into account the rise of inflation, the arts sector is facing real term cuts. Given the significant added pressures due to the rising cost of living, the Minister should seek to rectify the unfair imbalance of funding to ensure our culture and arts sector can continue to thrive.
Councillor Finnegan, Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. It's already been mentioned here, but the arts sector has seen a really significant drop in real terms in terms of the financial support that's been provided, particularly over the last decade. And that's a sad situation, really, because you know it should actually be receiving more investment because of the contribution that it does offer to our local communities. You know, there's an economic benefit, that's fair enough, but there's also the benefit that it brings to individuals through creativity, their own personal development. People maybe that lack confidence, for instance, that decide to go into that interest, and it brings creativity, brings a confidence in their own ability, and that has wider benefits in terms of their own personal quality of life that they enjoy. So certainly take a keen interest in the arts itself, and I do feel that we, and the Newry and South Armagh area in particular, it's a strong ethos and strong support for that sector. And it is disappointing that it's probably one of those sectors that is probably seen as an easy target in many ways for reductions in finance whenever there has been financial pressures. And that's when the case forgets about the actual positive impact that it does have on individuals and communities and districts that we belong to. So I certainly hope that it will be given consideration. And again, we talk regularly here about the pressures on budgets, but I certainly hope that we can find a way of developing the arts sector again in this area, because there is a real passion for it. And I see it even in local schools, even Newry High School, for instance, had a local production there in the last week or so, and it went down a storm with the local community. And it's the first time it had done something like that in a few years. Many years ago, I took part in plays in Newry High as well, and won a drama award for it too, but I'll not boast about that. But I know myself, even taking part in those things, it's a great experience for people, particularly young people. And I would encourage anybody that has an interest in that to embrace it. So I certainly hope that we can, the Minister for Communities, and I understand the pressures that all ministers are under, but he can look at this in a positive way. And I want to thank Councillor Finn for bringing this forward, because I know that she has a personal passion for this sector. And I know that you have a genuine interest in looking to improve it. So thanks again for bringing this motion here tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Finn, do you wish to sum up?
Just to say thank you to everybody so much for their support, and I really look forward to doing some cooking with Councillor Lee Searcher and maybe getting into a performance with Councillor Taylor at some point.
I imagine a Robin Hood.
Very interesting. Is everyone in agreement?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, and stay at home.